What's up, you beautiful bastards? Hope you're having a fantastic Monday. Welcome back to the Philip DeFranco Show, and let's just jump into it. And the first thing we're gonna talk about today is a little bit of it's a smorgasbord of people under fire, redemption story, cancel culture story. First of which you actually may have seen this morning, J.K. Rowling has come under fire, reportedly in a feature that's included on the DVD and Blu-ray of Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald. She says, speaking of Dumbledore and Grindelwald, their relationship was incredibly intense. It was passionate, and it was a love relationship. But as happens in any relationship, gay or straight, or whatever label we want to put on it, one never knows really what the other person is feeling. Adding, you can't know, you can believe you know. And reportedly saying, so I'm less interested in the sexual side, though I believe there is a sexual dimension to this relationship than I am in the sense of the emotions they felt for each other, which ultimately is the most fascinating thing about all human relationships. And the reason you have J.K. Rowling getting a ton of backlash is you have a lot of people saying that this is false allyship. Right? In the books and the movies, certain characters, they don't have their sexuality explored or explained in any way. But then, you know, she kind of after the fact in interviews or on Twitter is like, oh, hey, by the way, this was a thing. So that's why we saw viral tweets like, J.K. Rowling confirms some characters in her books and movies are gay everywhere except in the books or the movies. J.K. Rowling reappearing every 2 months to say something literally no one asked about is me adding more random details to my essay to up my word count. The thing that bothers me most about Rowling going into the quote intense sexual relationship of Dumbledore and Grindelwald is that after being criticized for glossing over queer characters except in interviews, she reduced calls for real queer rap to quote give us kinky sex details. Like, way to miss the point, undermine everything you could have done to rectify the mistake of leaving Dumbledore's orientation out of canon. This further reduces queer relationships and queer characters just to sex and media commentary, which is the last thing we needed. And there are a lot more, some even more passionate, but you get the idea. But personally, my takeaway from this story is I'm actually inspired. J.K. Rowling has inspired me to let you know that the chimpanzee in my old intro, that chimpanzee was bisexual. I know. Thank you. I am a hero, thank you so much. What's that, inspirational ally? Oh my God. Please, please, please feel free to subscribe to this channel to reward me for being just so amazing. Oh my God, something else, an award? No, it's Beautiful Bastard, which you can get at beautifulbastard.com. Use code ALLIED, you get literally nothing off because that code is as hollow as this sentence. And scene, okay. As far as my takeaway, I mean, technically J.K. Rowling made everything, so she can kind of just canonize anything, but it does feel hollow if you're doing it retroactively and it's not something that you actually explored in the book. That said, understand I'm saying from a point of I've never read the books. I'm a normie who only ever watched the movies. But yeah, there was that. Then we had celebrity director James Gunn in the news before the weekend. James Gunn, of course, the director of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1 and 2. And as you might remember, he famously was fired by Walt Disney Studios after tweets from 2008 to 2012 resurfaced. It seemed like there was this whole campaign, but there was this public outrage. And those tweets in question seemed like these, for the lack of a better term, these kind of edgelord shock jock jokes about rape and pedophilia. Gunn apologized, Disney still fired him. There were a lot of fans calling for him to be reinstated. You had actors from the movie standing by him. Honestly, some more, at least more transparently than others. Although there really wasn't any movement, it seemed that Walt Disney Studios was standing by this decision. James Gunn ends up getting picked up by DC to do the new Suicide Squad. Which, side note, I saw reports today saying that it is a total reboot. But the point of this story is that going into this last weekend, it was announced that James Gunn is being reinstated as the director of Guardians of the Galaxy 3. And along with these reports coming out, we saw James Gunn tweet, I am tremendously grateful to every person out there who has supported me over the past few months. I am always learning and will continue to work at being the best human being I can be. I deeply appreciate Disney's decision and I am excited to continue making films that investigate the ties of love that bind us all. I have been and continue to be incredibly humbled by your love and support. From the bottom of my heart, thank you, love to you all. And all of that brings us to the third of our opening trifecta, and that is Shane Dawson. Shane Dawson is of course a massive creator on the YouTube platform, has been for over a decade, has really blown up over the past year. I mean, we haven't seen a blow up like this that has stayed in the digital space, I think, ever. But with all that said, when you have massive success, you get this very big spotlight put on you and you come under greater scrutiny. And so yesterday, if you didn't see it, Shane Dawson was trending, and he was trending for a different version of the same thing we've talked about before, his past joke. Also, for transparency's sake, before moving forward, I've known Shane for a long time, although I don't want to exaggerate it. It's not like we're friends, we're just friendly with one another, we've worked with one another. That's also not a very unique situation. Shane is kind of friends or friendly with everyone. But that said, old clips of Shane Dawson resurfaced over the weekend. One clip was from a 2013 episode of the Shane and Friends podcast where Shane jokes about pedophilia. But you might even remember, this is a clip that resurfaced last year, turned into this huge controversy for Shane. And at that time, Shane responded with an apology video where he explained that he used to make these outrageous, edgy jokes, and now he's actually ashamed of them. So when he saw that same clip being shared again over the weekend, he tweeted, for those who missed this a year ago, here you go. Okay, going back to editing now. And there he linked back to his old apology and explanation video. But that wasn't the end for Shane, because there was also another clip from his podcast that started spreading, and this one was from 2015. And he talks about this story involving a cat.
I laid my cat down on her back.
Are you gonna get arrested for this?
I don't know. No.
Think about it.
I don't think so.
Okay, go ahead.
I didn't penetrate. I laid the cat down on her back, and then I moved her little chicken legs, like, you know, spread open or whatever. And I was like, if I just, like, hump, but, like, on her tummy, like, that's not weird. Like, whatever. And then I humped, and it kept going. I came all over the cat.
No, you did not.
It was, like, my first sexual experience.
No,
I was also,
way.
Like, 19.
And ultimately, we saw Shane respond to the spreading of this clip, the backlash from this clip, in a series of tweets where he said, and no, I didn't think this is how my Monday was going to start. He wrote, I didn't fuck my cat. I didn't come on my cat. I didn't put my dick anywhere near my cat. I've never done anything weird with my cat. I promised myself I wasn't going to make apology videos after last year's thing, so I'm just trying to be as short and honest with this as possible. I've apologized many times for all the dumb shit I've said in videos and podcasts over the years. I've learned my lesson over and over again, and I'm more confident now in my ability to be entertaining by just being myself and not being so shocking for laughs. That story was fake and was based on a dumb, awful sketch idea I had years ago that I never made, thank God. And when the opportunity came up for a funny moment in the podcast, I told it as if it was a real story, which was disgusting and very, very dumb. My goal with the podcast and with my videos years ago was to tell shocking stories that would make people laugh and scream, oh my God, no you didn't, and think I was so crazy. It's embarrassing and I fucking hate myself for it. And he goes on to say that he doesn't hate everything in his past, but all of my offensive jokes, over-the-top stories, and insensitive jokes are something that still haunt me and something I have to be faced with every day on the internet, and it never gets easier. So I'm sorry about what I said about my cat. I'm sorry for what I said about anything or anyone that was offensive, and I'm sorry for being someone who thought being super offensive and shocking all the time was funny. I'm sorry for my past, but I'm really trying to make it right, and I feel like without my past, I wouldn't be who I am today, and I wouldn't be able to grow and spend my energy on things that actually mean something. This has been the best 2 years of my life, and it's because I've been able to drop the act and be myself, and I'm sorry for not doing it sooner. And as far as my personal reaction to this, and once again, I'm probably really biased here, having known Shane, having watched his content for over a decade, I think that it's exactly what he said it was. It was this ridiculous, made-up, fake shock story. I don't think there's any validity to it, and I think it's once again where we need to look at cancel culture. Because I will say, I respect that everyone has their own reception to whatever has happened ever. I don't get to decide how you receive my past, how you receive his past, how you think about people evolving past that, or if they're always that thing. But I do think we need to question cancel culture, pile on, because if we're always just saying, hey, this person's over, look at this thing from this person's past, that's who they are forever, we're not allowing people to grow past their past, allow someone to evolve, become what they find to be a better version of themselves. And when we crack down and we cancel them and we say, you're done forever, especially when it's a person saying, I hate who I was. And when you push people away into that corner, you make it more likely that they're just gonna double down on the bad. Granted, I understand it's not your job or responsibility to have to forgive someone. But that said, that's the story, my personal takeaway, and of course I pass the question off to you. What are your thoughts on this one, as well as either of the first two? I know I just kind of bunched all of these together. But yeah, I'd love to know your thoughts. And the last thing I wanna talk about today, and this is a big tone shift, is I really do wanna talk about what happened in New Zealand on Friday. And you know, this past Friday, we didn't have a regular Philip DeFranco show, we had a live stream, and over the weekend, I was thinking of how I would cover this. You know, we already have a policy on this show where we don't show the faces or the names of these mass shooters, these monsters who very much seem like they want to be in the limelight. And when you look at this mass shooting in New Zealand, it feels like every part of this monster's plan was to make this a viral shooting. It was a mass shooting that was live streamed with a small community trying to make sure that they downloaded and helped spread the video with social media posts attached to it, a whole manifesto attached to it. He even says a massive YouTuber's name in hopes that the news media will run with that name and it will spread everywhere, and it happened. The shooter wanted to go viral. The shooter wanted to divide and get the attention, to the point there's even news today that he plans on representing himself. And so ultimately, how I decided that I wanted to talk about this story is to talk about, yes, the horrible impact, but also to talk about and highlight the heroes with this story. And so as far as what happens, you had 50 people killed and 50 others injured after two shootings that took place at two different mosques in Christchurch. Four people were taken into custody, one of which has now been charged with murder, who, once again, not going to show their face or their name. But the shooter has been identified as a white nationalist who held strong Islamophobic and anti-immigrant beliefs. But instead of talking about him further today, I want to talk about people like Jill Keats. Jill Keats is a woman who's been applauded for pulling her car over to help victims. Reportedly, she was driving down the road when two bullets just missed her car, and after stopping for a bit, she saw someone who had been shot near her and began to treat his wounds.
I opened up my doors, or my driver's door, and got out, and the guy in the black Commodore, whatever it was, come up and said, you're right, and I said, yeah, I'm good, I haven't been shot, and the poor bugger lying on the verge had been shot in the back, and we opened my passenger's door and my driver's door, and we pulled him round behind and then opened up the back as well, give us some protection. And he had a first aid kit and he crouched and ran all the way back to get it, and he lifted up his shirt and he dressed it, and I put the pressure on and then a nice Muslim guy come and give me some help as well, because you have to put quite a bit of pressure on, and I was, poor old hands were shaking that hard. I was scared I'd, you know, wouldn't be able to do a good job.
And we also have stories like that of Abdul Aziz, who was in one of the mosques that was targeted during the attacks. And according to reports, when he realized that there was a gunman approaching, he grabbed a credit card machine to use as a weapon. And when the gunman ran to his car to get ammunition, Aziz reportedly threw it at him and then picked up a gun that the shooter had dropped. He tried to shoot it, but it was empty, so he threw it. And many say that he saved lives by scaring the shooter away.
I just got that gun and threw on his window like an arrow, and blast his window, and he thought I shot him or something, and the guns come back and just he drive off, and I keep chasing him.
There was also a BBC report about a 71-year-old man by the name of Daoud Nabi. It's been reported that he threw himself in front of bullets to protect others. And of course, these are just some of the heroes and just some of the stories. Even as I'm recording this, we're seeing reports of more stories. We've also seen many people in New Zealand honoring the victims and supporting their families and survivors. We've seen so many dropping off flowers and cards at the Royal Botanical Garden, which is somewhat halfway in between the two places that were targeted. On Sunday in Wellington, over 12,000 people attended a vigil, and more vigils are planned around the country. We've also seen people dropping off food to Hagley College, which is being used as a community center for the victims' families. Also, on the note of helping, if you're watching this, you're wondering how you can help the people in New Zealand, there are several places taking donations. The New Zealand Council of Victim Support Groups made a crowdfunding page, Give a Little. There's also a Launch Good page that's taking crowdfunded donations, and the funds from both of these will be given to support those affected, including the victims' families. And, you know, that's where I'm really going to leave this story for now, because yes, I know that there are a lot of other things happening. There's the Australian Senator William Connolly, aka Egg Boy situation. There's the Prime Minister of New Zealand talking about even stricter gun laws. Understand, I'm not criticizing people that are covering those things. It's just, for me, on this show, that information is out there already. I just want to take this moment to think about the victims and the heroes. The unnecessary loss of life and those in the moment and in general who stand against it. Also to your everyday people, because it starts with everyday people, as well as the news organizations out there that chose not to show his face, show his name, to show the video that he wanted to go viral. Thank you. There is a way to talk about this and cover this without inadvertently glorifying and incentivizing others moving forward. But yeah, that's where I'm going to leave this one. There's a story. If you want to help, links, of course, down below. And of course, I'd love to hear any of your thoughts regarding this issue. And that's where we're going to end today's show. And remember, if you like this video, you like the way that we try to dive into the news each day for free, you can hit that like button, share the video. Also, if you're new here, you want more of this in your life, be sure to hit that subscribe button. Definitely ring that bell to turn on notifications. But with that said, of course, as always, my name's Philip DeFranco. You've just been filled in. I love your faces. I think we need a little more love in the world, and I'll see you tomorrow.